Alexia Koch on practical manifestations of transition, exploring food activities in the transition movement.
I want to talk a little bit first about the transition movement. I think Rob Hopkins will be talking a lot more about it, but just to give you a flavour of what it is for those who might be a little bit unfamiliar with it, and then talk a little bit about what my research is focusing on. The transition movement started about 5 years ago in Totnes in Devon, UK, based on the experience in Kinsale, Ireland. And since then, there are over 300 official initiatives in the UK and beyond, the States, New Zealand, Brazil, and it kind of supported by and something called the Transition Network, an organisation, what might be called a small social movement organisation set up by Rob and Ben Brangwyn, which provides training and materials that support emerging initiatives. It's often known as the Transition Town Movement, but a lot of those initiatives are in villages, there are also regional hubs, and there are also universities that have taken on transition churches. So I think now the movement tends to prefer the term initiatives rather than towns. But basically, the approach is to promote community responses to the twin threats of peak oil and climate change through advocating kind of energy descent and resilience building through relocalization. But as I say, I think Rob will probably expand a little bit more on that later today. My focus in terms of research has really been to look at the food, energy and transport projects being initiated by a number of transition groups in southern England. So my focus has really been to regional at that point, but I think there are some, I think it captures quite a lot of what is going on in the movement because the south is, southern England is often where some of the earliest initiatives have started. Today I'm going to be focusing on the food elements of the research or some of the analysis that I've been doing on that because of time. But it's also just probably worth mentioning that often that is the first kind of activity that groups seem to start on. And so it seems to be a quite popular starting point. I wanted here then in this slide to kind of outline the kind of repertoire, the kind of evolving repertoire of food activities that the transition movement and transition initiatives are taking on. Growing food locally, so things like garden sharing, community gardens, community-supported agriculture, buying local food, buying co-ops, labelling schemes, gathering wild and unused harvest, scrumping, making it into apple juice, that sort of thing, reskilling or food, so doing sort of courses around permaculture, forest gardening, low-carbon cooking, beekeeping, and then more recently sort of doing mapping of local food in the area and the potential for local food, as well as beginning to, some enterprises beginning to be set up around local processing and local provisioning. And I think we've got the Transition Handbook on Local Food, which was, I think, the first kind of guide that the Transition Network commissioned, how to make it happen in your community, so illustrated there. And that, I think, very much captures that repertoire that I've put up there. And this sort of, but it is a repertoire which is also, and this is acknowledged in the Transition Local Food book, that has been experimented with and innovated in the broader local food movement that has itself come from what might be called a sustainable agriculture movement over the last 20, 30 years. So it's building on and riffing in some ways on other activities that are happening beyond transition. But I think I also wanted here to look particularly at the case of garden share, because those categories seem to, you know, separate out. But actually what's quite interesting is how some of these activities are evolving and within the transition movement, and also the kind of relationship between activities that are happening within and that broader local food movement. So, say, taking the case of garden share, this was initiated first in Transition Town Totnes, where a member of the Transition Network with a volunteer built on an experience that she'd had of a similar kind of scheme outside of the transition movement, which she felt hadn't kind of gone very well. But basically, the garden share concept that they came up with was a kind of matching scheme between those who had gardens, which they didn't feel they were fully using, with those who wanted to grow fruit and vegetable but didn't have access to land. And so for a share of the crop, they then got access to that particular garden. So that was the kind of basic premise of the scheme. Now, this idea spread quite quickly. It was quite a favourite scheme to start, the other transition groups started sort of picking up on. So, for instance, Transition Falmouth set up a similar scheme in 2006 as well. I think Transition Tunbridge Wells set on up probably 2 or 3 years later. But this one, so it's on the line there, in partnership with, I think, the Local Allotments Association, Friends of the Earth and others. The particular scheme I wanted to quickly just again mention was that Transition Farnham set up a garden chair in 2009, or attempted to. And that was done because the kind of founder of that group visited Transition Town Totnes, had visited the garden chair and heard more about it. And when he returned to Farnham, it was in a group meeting, one of the members of the other members said, you know, I'd like to do something, but not sure what to do. And the founder suggested, well, why don't you think about setting up a garden chair? And that was where the idea came from. But what was interesting is they didn't draw only on the experience of Transition Town Totnes. There had already been a kind of local parish council garden share scheme relatively close by. And they borrowed, for instance, the agreement from that as a potential template should people want to have a look at an agreement between a grower and a land user there. Another example is Transition Brighton and Hove, who set up a garden share scheme which they called Grow Your Neighbour's Own in 2007. But that then was sort of passed on to an organisation, a kind of local food initiative, which now has, last year had a part-time paid employee who was promoting that particular project. Meanwhile, you had, in 2008, I think it was, Hugh Fernley Whittingstall visited Transition Town Totnes and filmed the garden share as part of his one of his programmes. He's a celebrity chef, for those who are unfamiliar with him, and was very interested by the project, and with Channel 4 decided to set up the land share website, which now has something like 50,000 members or who suppose you know use the website. And I think the Landshare website has been kind of quoted by Botsman, who is promoting the idea of a collaborative consumption movement, what I think you were earlier talking about as the connected community. He has suggested that said that Landshare website is an exemplar of what she's calling collaborative lifestyle, the kind of strand of this collaborative consumption movement that she's seeing forward. But what's different about it is, of course, it's very internet-based, whereas the Transition Town Totnes one is a much more face-to-face kind of relationship. And what's also interesting, I think, is that, for instance, Transition Guildford Growing Project has used that land share website to actually access land to do more kind of community growing. So although it's less about garden share and more about trying to set up community growing projects, and so it's drawn on that. So I wanted to use that example really of what I'm seeing as the kind of circulation and reinvention of projects that's happening within the transition movement, but also in collaboration with other activities beyond. And so what are the kind of mechanisms then for this circulating these ideas, for collecting and sharing project concepts and experiences? Of course, you have the transition websites. There's a couple. The Transition Network has its own website where you can put up project descriptions. You also have Transition Culture, which is Rob's blog, which also shares experiences and thoughts and discussions. There's Transition Network has an annual conference, and also there's been a number of regional gatherings, and it also offers a kind of training and consultancy option as well. So there's actually a core group training. And see, these are all ways of kind of sharing some of the experiences of various projects. The Transition Network also has a number of, say, books like the food book that we were talking about, and newsletter, and creates films. But in some ways, in talking to a number of the local activists, as you might call them, I think often it's the links between transition groups, the informal, often informal groups, links, and also with other kind of initiatives promoting local food initiatives that has been as important, if not more important, than some of the transition network kind of events and support. And in terms of localising those food repertory activities, I think it's the kind of open source, slightly experimental, non-prescriptive nature of a lot of these projects that has been really helpful that for people who are trying to look at how do we do this in our own area, that's been allowed them to sort of draw out lessons, but then so say, what are we interested in? What do we see as our particular circumstances of our particular neighbourhood? What are the energies that we have? So it's allowed this kind of reinvention, which is often, I think, the source of new innovation further down the road. But I think what's also interesting in looking at the repertoire is how is what it's saying about what lifestyles and practices should be now. And I think if you take that repertoire together, there's a lot around growing own fruit and veg, possibly on your own space or somebody else's space, possibly collectively, using wild unused plants, buying locally grown produce, processing and preserving food, and consuming seasonal produce, less meat, less imported luxuries. So there's the kinds of practices that I think you would see being promoted through these projects, with one project perhaps promoting one element of that. But taken together, those are the kinds of practices. And there are a lot of sort of values and kind of imbued in that around sharing, around collaboration, around resource use minimization. And I think that does, to a certain extent, reflect, I think, the kind of visions that transition is promoting for future lifestyles. So, for instance, I've got an example here from the Forest Row, which is a village in Sussex. Forest Row in Transition, sort of energy descent action plan. So they've got a description of Sophie going to the allotment garden where groups of families grow food together. This is in 2025. And this allotment growing supplies about half their needs most of the year. They get the rest through local farms and bartering with allotment holders. Sophie comes for an hour most mornings, which comes in the afternoons, and today there's a group of children who are from school working, having their farming lesson. So that's the kind of vision, and I think it's very much the kind of practices that are actually being promoted in the project now are very much reflecting the kind of vision for the future. But I think it's also important to say, obviously, this is a vision of a particular group of people within a particular group, a movement, and in that sense, it is a potential site for what I would call cultural politics. But what is also, I think, very interesting about what transition and what it's doing in food is that it's, I think, within this broader idea, not only about lifestyle, but about kind of creating local food system, which again is it sort of reflects that wider, the origins of the wider food movement, which is about creating local food systems in some ways as an alternative to this current kind of globalised food system. And I think Rob has used this sort of phrase, parallel infrastructure, and I think that kind of informs some of the network thinking around these sorts of issues. And although when you talk to a lot of members of food groups who are running sort of initiatives at local level, they won't necessarily say we are trying to set up a local food system. That's perhaps rather too ambitious, I think. They're often more sort of things, I'm trying to get this project done and this project. It is often within the discourse, and definitely with that discourse of local food. We're doing this for local food. And I think when you look at the nature of those projects, it's less about promoting certain forms of consumption. It's about, although there's an interest in what we eat and the diet that we will eat in the future, etc., I think it's much more about forms and practices of food production and provisioning. Some of it self-provisioning, but actually also some of it in setting up, relationships with producers who are commercially creating food. So to me, there is as much about livelihoods as about lifestyles, and I think when you look at the visions of the future food systems that two or three of the Transition Town, Totnes, Transition Norwich have created, Transition Stroud, have all kind of created future visions of the potential of what they're, and looking at, can their particular area feed themselves? There's quite a lot of focus on the fact that a local food system of the future post peak oil would need to have many more people employed in agriculture in the longer term, perhaps up to 20%. So I'd say it's not only about the self-provisioning, it's also about a change in the nature of livelihoods. Thank you.